This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Joe Singh.
Alison Milden.
And I'm Stuart Burks.
Actually, you taught photography and these are some of the tips that you give the
they
students.
They must learn.
Okay.
They must learn. So it's a formula.
So you've got some really good tips for anyone listening to this.
It's like a formula. If you want to be a pharmacist, you must know the ingredients, where it comes from, what the reaction is, and what will it do for the client. Mm-hmm. Same principle. Light is our chemistry, mm-hmm. right? The tools are the lenses and the camera. Because the old days, when everybody had a box camera, and mine cost 30 shillings, and I saved a lot of money for that, for 30 shillings, bought it at Collinson's, and I used to press it, quick, down, click, because I didn't want to have people moving. But by the same token, because the shutter opened like this and stayed for about 20 seconds, the movement that went down there, because the old box camera had only one movement, would move. And there'd be so many movements in the fixtures. And then, when they look through that little glass thing, you don't know exactly where the head and the body is. So when you take it, quite often the legs are missing. Well, top of the head's missing.
That
was a wonderful learning. I could make a beautiful picture of anyone, mm-hmm. anybody, old or young, give you a lovely scene mm-hmm. using a box camera today.
Yeah.
Because I know the principles of lighting, positioning.
And the people had to
angle.
Stay very still for how long? 20 seconds?
The shutter opens up.
Yes.
For around about 15 seconds sometimes.
Okay.
Not 15 seconds, 1/15th of a second.
Oh, 15th of a second.
Yes, sorry, using that. And that's why they get movement. And not from the client, and not from the grandma or the family. Yeah. It's just me.
So you didn't use a stand for the camera?
They weren't available. They were very professionals. And you know what the stands they were like? They were like those people that open up roads and they get great...
Oh, the surveyors.
Surveyors use?
Yeah, one of their tripods.
And if you didn't have a tripod, even today... Easy. Table. Elbow.
Yeah.
No. And you're standing up for the picture, and you've got nothing to do there, not to use that.
Yeah.
Got a wall?
Yeah.
Lean up.
Yeah.
Or?
Hold it firm against
something. Yes, just something to steady.
Yeah. Or?
Yeah.
And if you shake when you stand, saddle the horse, put the camera there.
Oh, so you turn the chair back to front, sit on it and rest the camera on the back of the chair. Yeah.
So anybody can take a beautiful picture. Just think about position, lighting, angle. Once you master that, 50% of your photography is learned. Yeah. The rest is personal taste.
Now, there was something you meant a 15th of a second.
Yes.
But going back to the 1800s, you needed a long exposure time.
About a minute or two.
Yes.
Maybe more.
Which is why there was some... There's papers passed, which all the old newspapers online, and you see these things described, and there was one article I read, people saying, won't people in the future think that we're a really dull, serious group of people? Because having to stay still for so long, they can often look as if they've got a really stern face.
Yep.
And they said, and certain members of the family would never appear in pictures because they couldn't stand still long enough. So even if they started off in the picture, all their movement would be such that they would just not show up right. in the end result.
100% right.
Yep.
Look at a portrait of any of the notables, politicians or what. You're the camera, the politician's here. It is always something here.
Yeah, the arm resting looks that or something. Way. Yeah, to stay very firm. Yeah.
Because that 2 minutes or so, as the years went progress, so did the materials, right?
Mm.
The chemicals were more light sensitive, so you could do it, the sasha could open and shut quicker.
Yeah.
And they'll be like this, and you'll always find that the husband's sitting there, the wife, either the husband, what doesn't matter, always has a hand here.
Yeah, the arm on the back stay. Of the chair yes, to right. stay still. Yes.
And glum. Because they cannot do this, and you can't capture yeah. it. Because they did this, yeah. and it's about a half of...
Yeah, you keep the yeah, smile, yeah. a smile just doesn't look right if you try yes. to hold it. Yeah.
And that'll become yeah. a blur.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a blink is not so bad because it's too quick.
Yep. Okay.
All right? So when you study these pictures and you think, oh, it was the restrictions of the material at yep. the time.
Hmm.
Okay? And that, I don't care if you're a nincompoop.
Yeah.
As one of the more senior students, well, about a 50-year-old doctor lady, she says, she has actually sent a note to the head office. She says, Joe Singh can teach a gnome to enjoy photography. And he sent it down to me. He says, isn't that a nice thing to say? I said, my God, teach a gnome to enjoy photography. That's good. So that little thing there, I always made sure, I don't care, you must learn that, and yep. we teach them how to do it by doing simple things.
Yep.
Now, going into photography, we always ask the students, what do you like about photography? Oh, I enjoy it. It's wonderful. It just gives me freedom. Good. What do you photograph? Oh, my cat. I photograph this, and I photograph people, etc., and it gives me so much joy. I said, exactly. You give great joy to yourself. That is the most important thing. You enjoy what you're doing. And then you give it to your mum. And you say, don't you think, what of that, mum? And I said, what do you expect her to say? Oh, load of shit. No. She said, oh, that's lovely, dear. Oh, how nice. Can I have this? And then you show your father, and if you're a girl, it's, oh, darling, da, 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 da. If you're, and I said, think of it like that. But if you want to learn this as a business, as a form of income, as something of joy to the receiver, you must give what that person's paying for plus. Because if you don't, and then I bring into, that's why I said to them when they asked me to do this degree in photography. I want to run it like a business.
Okay, now hang on. You said when they asked you to do this degree in photography. Now,
we started
sort of
off
said you were doing some teaching. Well, you got into teaching photography.
Oh, yeah. We'll just go and start that way.
Yeah.
When I retired, 6 months after retirement, I get a phone call from UCOL. And I thought,
that's Universal College of Learning.
Yeah, I thought, I used to be the mandatory politics.
Yes.
And I said, what the hell do they want with me? So I wandered up, and I was ushered into the acting head of that department at the time, called Anne Verbocket. And somebody brought in a trolley and a tray of coffee, and I thought, they want something. Now they said, look, we'd like to ask you, would you consider taking the art students for photography? And I says, it'd be only for 2 hours a week. Oh, I said, it's a blink of an eyelid. I said, not a problem. So I started at...
Did you know... You've got to design a course, know what to teach, and so you've got to have thought through the theory. Had all that?
No, I asked them, who am I teaching? And they says, the art students. And I says, what sort of art students? And they says, well, people that draw and do pictures of three-dimensional things, but a lot of them don't know how to hold a camera. And I thought, piece of cake. So I designed something that was like those things. Before you even take up a camera, think your technicalities, and they're very simple. Three things, and those are the three things that I made sure they do. I don't care when they came in for the degree, they still got to start at year one.
You're talking about the camera angle, still have that position of light.
So we, that's how I started, and after about 6 months, they says, would you consider doing a, what the heck they call it, an introduction to photography? Mm-hmm. And I said, what does that involve? They said, well, that'll involve about 2 days a week, and we'll get amateurs to come in that wants to be a better photographer. Well, after about a year, we had a certificate in photography, which turned out I had an average of about 48 to 52 students full time. I was wetting my pants by then. Yes, because you had to prepare the thing. And the
worst, how would you assess them?
Oh, they have to do the practical things.
Yeah. So it's a portfolio. They're doing a portfolio for you.
They do not move. We do not move forward until the whole class knows, because people learn in different speeds. And those that are a bit smarter, I say, well, I'll tell you what. Would you like to help me? Show George, Mary, etc., how easy it is to do what I'm teaching, so that they're not going to be left behind. So we face that. And if you give a responsibility to somebody, they feel good.
Well, they also learn more by teaching, because they learn themselves, they see it in their own way. They don't see how someone else is seeing it. When you're teaching, you've got to put that context
in. I always remember one day when we had 60 enlarges. Those things
to enlarge a photograph,
Yeah. They were the condition I had by the time we got to the...
unlike the digital stuff when you just buy it up.
Because we started with a certificate, then a diploma, and that got to a stage where I couldn't manage. And in the end, they built us a new building, Block 2. And the fact becomes that if you don't have the equipment, they get disappointed. This is a school of learning. And if somebody wants to employ them and they turn out to be nincompoops, your school's going to go that way. So I had to continue. Anyway, back to, we went to do that, and then I said, I've got to have help, got to have staff. And I made one point which was very important. I had to have people that came from industry. I don't want an academic. The person that comes from industry is like a mechanic of old. He knew what he could do with that thing. It's like a panel beater. It's not getting out something electric. He knows which part to kick and how hard to kick it to bring the lump back out. So those are the things that I put in. We had a bit of a disagreement, because they said, but these things, people aren't qualified. And I said, the very reason why we had to have a school of photography, because there was no professional school of photography for any of the professional photographers. They all learnt by mistakes. And by the time they were 60 and they started to manage to make a dollar, it was too dim and late. The coffin's already in the view. And you don't want that. Not really. So it had to be a professional school. And then
did that flood the market then?
There was nobody else offering it.
No, I don't mean for teaching, but for photographers. If suddenly there were all these young, qualified, well, trained photographers...
Correct.
Going onto the market was the...
Where are they? Where are these old photographers that are retiring and dying and popping off? Well, who can they sell their studios to?
Yeah.
The shopkeepers of photography equipment.
Yeah.
who are they going to employ when they don't even know and they haven't got time to teach them? So this was a school for professional photographers. The Institute of Professional Photographers, actually, I say it with reserve, in the end they gave me a, I already got my fellowship, but they gave me another fellowship, honorary fellowship.
Life membership, wasn't it?
Yeah, life membership, an honorary fellowship for the, what do you call it, for professional photography, teach it properly.
Yes.
Because that was important. Yes. When these old guys die, nobody will take over. So back to that, they also were required by the newspaper, magazines.
Yep. So it was a growing area.
It was a growing area. It's still growing, but it's all digital.
Yeah. Okay. So it's still growing for the professionals when it's so easy for amateurs have the phones.
Yes, good the world's changed.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, the wedding, you got the photographs, the proofs, you ordered them, you got an album, or you had them on the wall. Now it's changed the fact that you may only spend an hour or so at the wedding. You spend two damn days in the on the computer putting it all together. And the customer can say, but you only spent an hour at my wedding and you're charging me $4,000 or $5,000 to produce this production. And that's where one of the things that I made sure, I'm jumping you, I made sure they got this, how to run a small business. And before I go on to that, sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. We're coming to the end of it. We got a few minutes.
Yep, no,
then we'll be on to another one.
All right.
Yep.
So what we had to do was, when you photograph a person, you must understand that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person is relying on you to make them look the very best in their mind.
Mm.
It's like a doctor. You go to the doctor, now he has the knowledge to make you better, to improve your health. If you go to a surgeon, it is expected. I would. And I would also make sure I investigate whoever's handling it, what his other clients or patients had. No different to photography. So the one of the things was that you asked about expression, etc. The other thing that I used to make sure they do, every staff taught it the same way. This is the Bible, right? And it says, helpful guide to interpret thoughts and gestures of others. It also makes you aware of your own non-verbal language to others. So if you go and somebody comes in and wants your passport taken, you drag your camera out and you come in and say, right, sit there, look my way. What sort of feeling would you get? I'm just a number. I know it's only a passport, but I'm a number. And when they want somebody to really think, oh, what a good photographer, they'll remember the bad ones. And they'll remember ones that go that little bit of effort. And this is the thing that I felt was so important. Right, tutorial year 3. Intro to marketing. The visual guide is no way the Holy Bible on body kinetics. It is the very concise and limited guide of some obvious everyday signs that you may come across in your future business venture with people. Most importantly, it serves as a guide for you to try and avoid mirroring them in your face-to-face contact. Now, when you this is a bit long, but when you go through this, you'll understand so clearly that
when you try to avoid mirroring them, I thought
they're already nervous.
They're nervous. Sometimes mirroring is sometimes
You go in.
Bond,
but you go in and you fart around with your camera.
Okay.
And then you go up.
So you've got to be relaxed and confident, so they'll try to mirror you, or they'll be inclined to mirror you and be relaxed and cheerful.
You've seen the photographers that they come up and take a picture, say, for example, I'll take it. I've forgotten your name. Alison. I thought it was, and I have to do something to adjust her face. Now, Alison, look at me, and I'm going to adjust your face. I know you know me, but if this is how I said, now I want to put an angry face, and I come this way to do it. Did you not feel I was invading? Look at my hand. Copy. Mm. But if I did it this way now, I'm just going to lift your chin up just a wee bit. Now notice, fingers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Up a little bit, yes. Now I'm just going to tilt your head, do it that way, and we'll come back this way. Now, I want you to look over there. Mm-hmm. One of the worst sins, photographers saying people, look over there. The photographer knows they want you to look at the picture, but they don't, they point. Now, where is my finger pointing? You can't see where it's pointing. So you have to say, I want you to look at the door handle in the other room. You know exactly where it is. Mm. I want you to look at the door handle. There are two there. So this is called, the most important thing is communication. Mm. The client doesn't feel invaded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that you do it in such a way it is to their benefit and they can feel it. So if I say to the woman, a girl, they stand there and they think they're being models and they do that sort of thing.
Oh, they go, they turn their foot.
Now, look at the fat thigh.
Yes.
So you don't go and grab the leg and swing it around and turn the toes. You say, oh, that's not doing you justice at all. You have such a lovely figure. Bullshit. And
I'll never trust a photographer again.
Not this one. Anyway. And then you say, look, I tell you what. I want you to imitate me so that we're going to get the pictures that everybody admires in the Gamma magazine, Woman's Day and all those. And I said to them, now, what I want you to do is stand on your left foot and then leave that foot and then just drag it over like this. And I drag it over like this. And I said, now, I want you to drop it and turn that way. Look how much nicer it is, especially on high heels.
So you're changing the angle of the leg and
making it more narrow.
Now, and there's an aspect as well, like even if you're just taking the top half of the body, where the legs are and so on, can actually change how that hangs.
The pressure of the wheels and the angle of the wheels and the tire pressure on the wheels determines how that angle of the car up top looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, sweetie. Yeah. Throw the hip. Throw that out.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter which foot. And if you want to be more sexy, I use the term more alluring, mm-hmm. I get the students to make sure that you have the right words. To make it more alluring, you simply say, now, I want you to do the same as before. Weight on the left foot or the right. Doesn't matter. If they're right-handed, that side. If they're left-handed, do it this way.
Oh, with the weight. It's the weight on the...
That one.
The opposite foot.
Yeah, because this hand, if they really want to be that, slide the hand back this way. Look. It's not a big fat hand here. Sliding sensuously down the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting excited yet? I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So
you get angle. Yeah. Very important.
Yes. One of the things that's easy to understand, I put on here. Example: if you look at a person who's laughing till tears come out of their eyes, and then you look at the person's face who has just crushed their toes.
Mm-hmm.
You will note that the whole facial expression appears exactly the same, and I demonstrate. Oh, Jesus, Wayne! And laughing and smiling. There's no words to show the difference. Because you have words to hear it, the pain sound.
Mm-hmm.
A smiley sound.
Yes, yes.
So when you get people to do this, now is they smiling
so
or they're in pain?
You mean if you want someone to look happy in a photo, you just get a long-handled hammer and bang them on the foot?
Yeah. Talk to them and just say, just talk to me naturally and I'll capture you at the most graceful expression on your face.
And of course, that's why you get that photos, the sequence.
So it's hard to explain, but when we put it on paper, they can go home and practice on their mum.
Now, a lot of what you're saying is sort of how to take perhaps the, maybe the best and most complimentary photograph for a woman. What about for a man? Is there something fundamentally different?
Yes. Yes, there is. The most important thing is you heard the expression, ooh, he's puffing out his chest. Mm-hmm. So if you took a man, make him comfortable and sit there, this is what it'll be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say, oh, my goodness me, do you play a lot of rugby?
Mm-hmm. I'll straighten his
back. You don't have to say anything.
Put his shoulders back a bit.
And never take them this way.
No.
Would you trust me?
At an angle, sort of shoulder.
Would you trust me with $1,000?
More sort of square onto you, you think?
Yes. And never lean a man back.
Leaning forward rather than leaning back.
Leaning forward. How can I help you? I'm interested in you.
Yeah.
Never tilt the head backwards.
With a hunting rifle leaning against the leg.
Hello, sweetie. This is, what do you want? How can I help you? See the difference?
So what? Yeah, but so for someone who's just listening, what do you do?
The
good angle for the head is what?
Yeah, the good angle for the head is that it goes as straight as possible for the chest facing you.
Okay, right, so, lined up with the chest,
yes,
the,
more or
the
less.
Person facing.
And don't hesitate to tilt the head to the left or to the right. Now, if a person's got what we call a angular face, that's the Greek sculptors used to make a lot of use of, that's a very good angle. It's a direct angle. I'm interested in you. But if you lean towards me now, lean towards me, you're very interested in what I'm going to offer you and say to you. Alright, never tilt the head that way or that way, because
so don't tilt the head, keep the head straight.
Yep.
But leaning forward
is
means interest.
Watch the shoulders. Right shoulder down a little. Because the other way is this. See the
down, not trusting, sorry.
This is, I'm open to your suggestion.
So do you study the body language sort of things?
I study. Before I, when the client, they sometimes make the phone call, especially ladies. But when they come in, you've got roughly 2 minutes to make your mind up. What is this lady wanting? And then I actually have to ask them, now is this somebody, for somebody very special? And that's always for my boyfriend. Then you know why that picture has the glamorizer. If it's for my mother, you must show maturity, good judgment.
Where's that photo of you, Alison?
She was a very young lady at the time who every mother would look and say, oh, what a lovely young girl she is.
Yes, my mother did like that photo.
There.
And she ever after said, I should have my hair cut.
She kept saying, why can't you look like in that photo?
I do, but the situation hasn't presented itself.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwi fruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.